All right, so good afternoon. My name is Brittany Getch, and I am from the University of California, Irvine. Can we see it? Oh, this is to be. Thank you. Okay, that looks great. And as you can see, the focus of my presentation today concerns the unintended consequences of healthcare reform as it pertains to the area of clinical research. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay. This presentation is the result of many people, including my research advisor sitting over there, Terry Schmidt, and my fellow colleague, Lori Heinrich, who completed background research before I embarked on this analysis. I would also like to mention the Institute for Clinical and Translational Science at UC Irvine. The goal of the Institute is to provide opportunities, technology, education, and support to the field of translational science. And while the ICTS has provided Terry Schmidt with funding concerning this topic, I must note that this funding that he received was not utilized for me in my present research. Okay. So here is the outline for the current presentation, just so you know where I'm going. I'm going to begin with a brief background and explanation. Then I will introduce my research question, methods, and findings. And finally, I will conclude with my perspective on these issues. So I'm first going to introduce the idea of unintended consequences in case it might be a little unfamiliar. The goal of policy is, of course, to enact or enforce change. However, the limitation of analyzing policy impact is that really everything happens in real time. So if I wish to determine the effect of a policy, I have to observe situations as they unfold. Thus, a sound policy as it comes out should actually be based in thorough background research, or should at least attempt to determine what effects a policy could have in advance. If an effect occurs that isn't intended or expected, or maybe even has an opposite result than what's expected, we call it an unintended consequence. And I must note that while I express unintended consequences here in this presentation, there's not really a value judgment attached to it. I'm just trying to explain what could potentially happen, what we need to be aware of in order to move forward. Okay. So as I'm sure you all know, the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act was signed into law on March 23rd, 2010. What might be less well known is the precise language that pertains to healthcare reform in relation to clinical research. And this is the language that I'm focusing on today. One of the salient sections of the PPACA pertinent to clinical research is that of PCORI, but there is also language regarding funding and electronic records that I'll discuss a bit later. Okay. This, so note the citation for the, okay. PCORI is a 15 committee member body. It's expected to have a budget of $500 million by 2015, based on $2 paid into the Medicare budget. The PCORI is to establish an objective research agenda. It's to develop research methodological standards, contract with eligible agencies to conduct comparative effectiveness research, ensure transparency by utilizing various input resources. They're taking pharmaceutical people, business people, patient experience in their decisions. And their goal is to disseminate information and the results of studies to patients and the healthcare providers. Comparative effectiveness research, which is what PCORI is mostly focused on, CER, is just that. It's comparing the effectiveness of two treatments to determine which one actually works best. And the definition of best is actively being defined. So PCORI is a novel body with the potential to have a large impact on clinical research, and I wanted to determine the possible consequences and unintended consequences that this language might have on the field of clinical research. And so my research question was, what is the anticipated impact of healthcare reform in relation to PCORI on clinical research as set forth in various policy analysis journals and health journals? And so I began my quest. I completed a meta-analysis of the literature from the past 5 years, over the past 6 months of my time, with a lot of coffee, to determine what what researchers are speculating is going to occur as a result of the quarry. What's going to happen? What could potentially be the impact on clinical research? And here are the terms I was searching for: healthcare reform, clinical research, patient-centered outcomes research institute, comparative effectiveness. So the journals that I examined were Health Affairs, Health Policy, Healthcare Policy, the Journal of Healthcare Law and Policy, the Milbank Quarterly, the Journal of Public Health, the Journal of the American Medical Association, Journal of Health Politics, Policy and Law, the Journal of Law, Medicine and Ethics, and the Journal of Health Economics, Policy and Law. I thought this would be a good way to capture the language that is going on about possible effects. So I began with 2,985 journal elements. I then eliminated the extra elements in these journals, book reviews, table of contents, letters, other extraneous information, and I finished with 2,218 articles to analyze. Okay. So this is the research schema, and a similar research schema was followed by the individuals listed below. I started with the initial library. There was 2,985. I eliminated 767 different parts based on the fact that they weren't pertinent. And then I was left with 2,218 articles to review for my search terms. Okay. So what was interesting is that in all of these articles, there was really no mention of the possible intended consequences, nor was there mention of intended consequences that could stem from PCORI. I was really shocked. I didn't use any type of language processing analysis software, so I physically read all of these articles myself, and I was expecting to find something. I found nothing in relation to what I was hoping to find. You could say that my hypothesis was that I would indeed find something, that someone would be talking about the downstream effect of the legislation. So now we transition to what I think about could potentially be the unintended consequences of healthcare reform. Okay. And some of this is coming from information compiled by the ICTS conference on the topic of the same title as my presentation. So Terry Schmidt and Lori convened a group of very high thinkers in health policy to kind of talk about the unintended consequences of healthcare reform on political, on clinical research. So comparative effectiveness research could be utilized to set coverage and reimbursement strategies. If PCORI does not find a treatment effective, it's possible that reimbursement agencies will decide to deny that access to treatment. This is akin to what is done at the UK Institute for Health and Clinical Research, also known as NICE. They incorporate cost into their reimbursement threshold. So even though PCORI and the PPCA language explicitly states that they will not include cost in the consideration of what is most effective, this does not mean that reimbursement agencies will not include it. An unintended consequence of what PCORI might be accomplishing. In another way, PCORI could potentially have the opposite effect of what is intended. If the healthcare reform bill is meant to help reduce spending, if cost isn't actually taken into effect, obviously comparative effectiveness research could potentially increase spending. Comparative effectiveness research requirements will alter the expected cost of drug development. This is because basically comparative effectiveness clinical trials, because a lot of them will start to utilize past databases and not active research, they're necessarily going to need a bigger sample in order to increase their statistical power. So if pharmaceutical companies and medical institutions are going to have to adapt to this, it will necessarily likely increase their cost. Okay. While the language of the Act obviously is meant to improve health, it's possible that the emphasis on comparative effectiveness research could indeed divert attention away from basic research that could potentially lend to improved health to a focus on translational science. Comparative effectiveness research data reliance, once again, will potentially rely on past databases or even current data that's being collected based on the present care standards. But this might not account for genetic differences or other advances in personalized medicine. So this could actually lead to potentially flawed conclusions and possibly stifle innovation as we move forward. For example, if treatment results are bimodal, or they only affect small portions of populations that might not be captured in the database. Okay. Comparative effectiveness research, now you get into implementation. Just because PCORI or the governing bodies find something to be effective does not mean that everyone will have equal access to it. And so ideally, comparative effectiveness research should be accompanied by more research that includes information such as patient satisfaction, long-term patient health, and qualitative studies related to improving implementation in all facilities in order to minimize possible disparities. Because it would be awful to find something that's most effective and then you actually don't have access to it. The PPACA also provides for enhanced data collection. So this is in section 3101. So enough about PCORI, I'm stepping away for a little bit. This could potentially involve measuring care delivery, disseminating findings, and holding providers accountable and tracking reimbursement strategies. So the idea moving forward is that now the data collection mechanism is going to be enhanced, and we're going to be starting to look at all sorts of different analyses relating to potentially increased health outcomes. Data could eventually include demographic variables at the smallest geographical area, so we could potentially capture things like the built environment, pollution factors, things like that. So while the requirements could potentially be complementary to and even further clinical research goals, accounting and tracking for these different variables could potentially add to cost, because now people are going to have to be considering all of this in order to receive funding. And while basic clinical research is the foundation of healthcare research, the PPACA could ultimately lead to more research in areas regarding to patient and provider behavior, firm behavior and organization, and market interactions. These areas of study have the potential for reducing costs as desired by the PPACA, in the sense of if we can determine, what are the most effective hospital systems for delivering care, or patient behavior, what will actually help someone, here's where you get into behavioral health, what will potentially help someone actually adhere to their medication, and market interactions in terms of what's going to go on in between reimbursement strategies. This is where you get into a lot of economic analyses. If you're spending more time researching these things, you're probably going to spend less time researching clinical trials. There's only so much funding to go around. Okay. And in the same vein, if the PPACA is actually not effective in achieving their broad goal in cutting future healthcare costs, once again, there is a limited budget, so there's a potential for costs to be shifted away from future healthcare spending away from clinical trials. Okay. So regardless of what I can surmise about the unintended consequences of healthcare reform on clinical research, the effects of PCORI and healthcare reform are already beginning to change, as you can see, the field of clinical research, and the future will illuminate the true consequences. So even though no one's talking about it, it's happening, and how we adapt to it in the future will be an ongoing question. This was an article in the September 28th issue of the Journal of American Medicine. Thank you very much. Thank you.